Bruchim Aboyim to the next Indian in the Yerucha program. We're going to be learning Be'ezus Hashem in the spirit of Korvo Shnas Hasheva, as the Pasuk tells us, as the seventh year of Shemitah comes closer. Even if we don't have the schus of living on the soil of Eretz Yisrael and keeping the mitzvah of Shemitah as far as Shemitah's karkois, but we do have the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksofim. Shemitah's Ksofim goes along with Shemitah, the same way one can't work the land. Also, all Choyvois become Nishmat, become Bottle. And there's an institution of Prusbel, the Chazal instituted. That's the subject of our discussion. What's interesting is, if we open up the parasha of Shemitah's Ksofim, it's not in the parasha of the Surim and the Melochois that one is not allowed to do on Shemitah, as well as the halachas of the produce of the land of Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year, which is discussed in Parshas Baha. This parasha is in Parshas Re'eh by Shishi, and the pasuk says like this: Miked Sheva Shonim Taser Shemitah. The wording of the pasuk is at the end of 7 years, one is to do a Shemitah. The Torah doesn't say the word Shemitah. By the way, the sherish of the word Shemitah means to abandon. The Torah says, Vinotashto, when it's talking about land that's abandoned, that's the Lashon of Shemitah. Shomoit is also to slip away. V'zed dvar ha-shemitah, what's this about? Shomoit kobam la-shiyod ha-shiyashbeh, any choiv which is owed by any yid to another yid, lo yigois esreel ve'sochiv. The Torah seems to put down an assay of ha-shiyashbeh re'eyu, he should be mashmit the choiv, and a loisa say of loyigois esreeu, one should not be goive me reeu vesochiv kikoro shmita l'Hashem. Now, what's very telling about this whole asay in lav, it's not just a din in shmita, the Torah uses this parasha to put down its economic perspective. It's always a discussion: should we be fighting a war on poverty? Should we not? Socialism, capitalism. Listen to the lashonis of the psukim that are mamshich the din of Shemitah's Ksofim. Efes ki lo yiyah b'cho evyoin. There'll never be a lack of poor people. Ki vorech, or we hear the passage saying, Efes ki lo yiyah b'cho evyoin. There should not be amongst you people that are evyoin, that are destitute. Later on, the pasuk says that there's a need to give tzedakah. The pasuk says, ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev ha'oret. Seems almost as if the Torah is saying you're going to be gebenched for giving tzedakah. And later on, the Torah says, "Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev ha'oretz." Alkein anochi mitzav cholaymor. There always will be poor people. Pasach tiftach es yocho lachicho laniyecho levyoncho be'atzecho. The Torah over here puts down the halachas of giving tzedakah. This is the only place in the Torah, in the context of Shemitah's Ksofim, where the Torah gives the chiyuv to give tzedakah, which we just finished learning with Yerucha, the halachos of tzedakah. The love of lois amtsis lavavcha, not to be tight-fisted, hard-hearted. Lois sikpetz is yodcho me'achicho, evyoin is mentioned in the context over here. Ki pasach tiftach is yodcho loy. Not only that, but the Torah says that there's also a chiv to lend. Not only is there a chiv to give tzedakah, there's a chiv when one has to be able to lend to somebody, put it back on his feet, get him going. Not only that, but there's an added choymer to this Avera, if somebody doesn't want to lend before Shemitah because he's afraid of Shemitah's Ksovim. He shomer lecha penyeh dovem levotcha blial leimo kova shnasa sheva shnasa Shemitah. There could be a thought of somebody who's blial, which is a lashon, interestingly, that's used in this parasha for an Avera Avodah Zarah. Korva shnasa sheva shnasa Shemitah. V'ro incha, you'll have a tzoras ayin v'chicho evyin v'lo yisitin loy. You should give him. You shouldn't even feel bad about it. This is the reason why you're successful, why you have Shefa, is in order to be able to give. And so the Torah puts down over here in the context of Shemitah, we understand that Shemitah, in Shemitah's Karkois, is described as Kili Kol Haoretz. The idea of Shemitah is impressing upon us the land doesn't belong to us. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The peros, the bounty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, is not ours. It's a function of bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. The money that we have is also. Now, there's no halacha that a person is mechuyev to give out money that he wants to use. But if a person has money, he has spare capital, what should it be used for? So the same way there's an issur ribis, that if there's somebody out there who needs to borrow money, you have to lend him without thought how to capitalize on the capital you have. That means if you have the money, tzedakah, by the way, has how much you have to give, who you have to give to. But lending? Lending means you have the money, it's spare. That's money that you could lend. It's spare cash. You put it in the bank, so lend it out. And if it's spare to the point where it's not collected before Shemitah, that means that it was really spare. And if it was really spare, then the Torah says, you know what? Kili kol ha'aretz. Ki beglal adov ha'azeh. That's why you get benched. Is because you understand that the money is not really yours in the first place. Let it go. So the parasha of tzedakah, the hashkofas ha'Torah on tzedakah, on being nesiaches to another yid's needs and lack, is defined in the context of the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksofim. The Sefer HaChinuch also over here, Mitzvah Tov Ayin Zayin, has a discussion about Chemdas Momoin. Chemdas Momoin, by the way, is a different midah than somebody who wants a nice car. Somebody has an extra $100,000 and he wants to buy a luxury model. So we understand that's a chemda for things. And that, of course, is not so consistent with a person who's a Ben Olam Habo, but we can understand it. But a person wants to hold on to money, not because he wants to spend it on something, but just because he wants the money. That's what the Torah is addressing. When the Torah says, be able to let go of money. Don't be so tight-fisted. It's not about what you want, because then you didn't have to lend it out in the first place. If a person wants to spend money on a car, he doesn't have to lend out that money. But if the money is extra, he has it anyways, the proverbial miser with the money under his mattress, be able to lend it out and be able to uproot that chemdas moment. Now, what's interesting is that's the Sefer Chinuch and Tov Ayin Zayin. But in the Ramban, the pasuk that says over here, Sanochri Tigois, that a goy one should press to pay up, the Ramban understands it can't be that there's a chiyuv to go press a goy. You're supposed to work on your midois when it comes to a yid, but a goy, you're supposed to go after him with every tool at your disposal. Doesn't sound right. So he understands that that's only the flip side of lo yigois esreyeu, don't go after a yid whose choiv you have. The Rambam understands anochri tigois is an ase. So you have to say in the Rambam, the ase is not about being aggressive and getting back money that's owed to you. There's nothing praiseworthy about that. But it's about making a delineation that this type of being able to let go, being able to share, and understanding that you only have it in order to share it with others, the appreciation of that who you're supposed to share with, whose oil are you supposed to carry, that is the midah you're supposed to have for a fellow brother, for a yid. So memelos anochri tigos, that would seem to be the perspective of the lav. Okay, so we have in place a hashkofer perspective behind lending money, and behind the ability for a person to let go of money that was lent, which is the din of Shemitah's Ksofim. That being said, the Mishnah in the 10th Perek of Shvi'is tells us there came a time where there was a Yeridus HaDairis, and Jews were struggling. Yidden had a hard time lending money. And because of that, Hillel HaZokin felt that it was better to encourage the midah of nedivus and find a halachic mechanism around the problem of Shemitah's Ksofim. Again, the reason why he did that is because he wanted to encourage what's the inherent point of Shemitah's Ksofim anyways. That's the reason for this Hakdama. If the being malva money is being called into question, then it's more important to do away with Shemitah's Ksofim. He instituted the mechanism called a prosbul. What is a prosbul? The Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Vav is Mayrich. It seems that according to some Rishonim, if Shmitas Ksofim would be Deiraisa, Bizman HaZeh Shmitas Ksofim is only Midirabana, which we're going to speak about Be'ez Hashem when we delve into whether Shmitah is Deiraisa. The Gemara learns out B'Shem Abraisa, B'Shem Rebbe, that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that Shmita Bizman HaZeh Shmita's Ksofim, that is Dirabonon. Whether that's because Shmita's Ksofim is Tolin Shmita's Kakois, which is Dirabonon, or alternatively, because Shmita's Ksofim is Tolin Yoivul. Yoivul is certainly only Midirabonon. We don't have all the dinim of Yoivul Bizman HaZeh. Vinishvi Shmita's Ksofim is Dirabonon. The Gemara says because of that, Hillel was able to play around with and use the mechanism of Prosbul. The simple reading of the Gemara is that if Shmitz's Ksofim would be Deraisa, Hil Hazoka never would have been Misakin a Prozbo. Whether that's the Maskonis HaGemara is actually a Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos, it's also Machloikis Rambam and Ravid, as pointed out by the Mefarshim, we'll learn the Maror HaMakomis inside. Vinishvi, there is a similar idea which is mentioned called Moshe Shtarois of the Bezin. There are various types of Choyvois, which the idea behind Shmitz's Ksofim is that money, that it's owed to me, but I don't have it. It's not by me. I have to get it from Yenim. So I should allow it to stay by him. I shouldn't take money from him. Money, even though I have a right to take it from him, I shouldn't. I should let go of it. Or the Torah gets rid of it. What's called the Lashon is Afkaita Demalka. Or is there a mitzvah for me to say Mishamatani is another subject of discussion. We don't say Mishamatani because we have the Prozbo. And the Prozbo allows us to collect Chayvis. Prozbo is definitely similar to the concept called Moshe Shtoreis LeBezdin, which would mean I'm handing over my Chayvis to Bezdin. Sort of if I hand them over to Bezdin, so I'm not the one collecting, if Bezdin's collecting, so it's not my problem. Whether that needs also Hefker Bezdin Hefker, which is the halachic vehicle of Bezdin being able to, Chazal being able to be Misakin Takonis Bin Yonim Momoin, as they see fit. Whether one needs that or one doesn't need that is also a subject of the above mentioned Machlokes Rishonim. Vinishvi, the Prozbo, what it does is a declaration, and we'll have the Nusach Be'ezus Hashem of the Prozbo ready to be signed, is that one is handing over one's Chayvis, so to speak, as the Bezdin. Are you handing over the Chayvis to the Bezdin, giving over the Chayvis to the Bezdin? Or is what you're doing, you're just using the Bezdin, so to speak, as a collection agency? Means that what you're doing is you're appointing the Bezdin as the legal power of attorney to collect the Chayv. You're the one who's going to go be collecting the Chayv afterwards. The reason is all you're doing is working on behalf of the Bezdin. But the power of attorney, the legal recourse to be collecting those Chayvs is the Bezdin. That's the basic mechanism of the Prozbo. And again, does it work on a deraisa level? Also, like we said, it's machlokes rishonim. What's interesting is that the Torah brings from, it seems that it was noyig in Spain and other places in Europe for hundreds of years, it seems that they weren't makbid to write prozbulim. Today, in most communities, it's pretty standard. But it seems that there was a period in medieval times of hundreds of years where they didn't write prozbul. It's not clear exactly why not. Had they collect chayvis without going through the halachic system of writing a prozbul in order to make that those chayvis shouldn't be nishmat. So we've been mitzayin in the Maror HaMakomis various bekitzer, various opinions, theories in the Aruch HaShulchan. It seems that on one level it's not even clear whether there is a din of Shemitah's Ksofim today. Meaning, say, in Eretz Yisrael this year, it's pretty unquestioned that there is a din of Shemitah's Karkois, that this year is Shemitah year. Again, whether that's their Eisei Derabon, we'll discuss Be'ez Hashem in the next segment. Whether they were Misakin Shemitah seems to be a given. Everybody keeps Shemitah. Actually, by the Rishonim, it's not so poshut. There are some Rishonim that held that there's no Shemitah b'zman hazeh. They only kept it going in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Even if Shemitah would be Derabbanan, they kept it going. But the last 1800 years that Eretz Yisrael was lying desolate, relatively speaking, there's no Shemitah. That's a minority opinion of Rishonim. Some Rishonim actually extend that to Shemitah's Ksofim. There's another point to keep in mind also. It's quite possible that Shemitah's Ksofim, they kept as part of the Shemitah year, but only where the Iker part of Shemitah, which is Shemitah's Karkois, is kept. That's in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe there's only Shemitah's Ksofim in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe not in Chutz Lartz. Maybe only in areas around Eretz Yisrael. The same way in times of the Mishnayis, in the times of the Tanoim, in early Amiroim, there was Hafroshas, Trumas, and Maisris, also in places, Mitzrayim, Bovel, anything that was geographically close to Eretz Yisrael, in order that Klal Yisrael should have one Derech HaChaim. But in further places in Europe, in North Africa, and further afield in Asia, there was certainly no Trumas and Maisris, so maybe they weren't Misakin Trumas. So they weren't misakin to Shmitas Ksofim. Shmitas Ksofim only goes together with Shmitas Kakois. Rashi actually alludes to the fact that there's a chiddush that one is taller than the other. One of them has to do with karka. One of them is, like Rashi says, a choyvas haguf. And Shmitas Ksofim certainly midderaisa is ben ba'aretz ben b'chutz la'aretz. But maybe they only kept it going after Churban HaBayis, after Klal Yisrael went to Golos, only in Eretz Yisrael. That's another possibility. There's also a few more technical details in Shemitah, in Prusbel. The institution of Prusbel is hard to pin down exactly. The Gemara has a discussion that maybe it only works when it's an established, authoritative Beis Din with full financial ability to prosecute Chovos. We don't have that type of Beis Din today. So the Aruch HaShulchan discusses maybe our Bati Din really don't have, lack the official capacity to really process Chovos on behalf of people. Maybe a Prusbel doesn't even work. So what they did was, it was understood for hundreds of years, that since a Prusbel doesn't work, every Chov that was, anytime money was lent out in the Jewish community, there was some type of established rule that it was what's called in the Gemara in Makkos Dav Gimel Al Menas, a person can lend money to a Reuven can lend money to Shimon, b'tnai that there is no, that Shimon doesn't have the schus that Shmita will wipe out that choiv. You can, a person can waive his monetary schus, mentioned in many places. A woman, for instance, could waive her monetary claims to support during a marriage if she so wishes to do so. A husband could get married and he could waive, that's prenups. If they're done al pi halacha, some of them are based on this concept. A husband could waive his schusei yerusha or to get his wife's earnings. Let's say a second marriage. Sometimes people will do that. So also a loyver could waive his schus that his choiv will be waived. So maybe every choiv that was lent in the Jewish community was a daita achi lemaisa. The Rishonim denounced the practice and they say, of course, that a prusbel should be written. There's another point also that a Prusbel, Chazal say, has to be done in the normal tzura of a Gvias Chayv. And Chazal understood that normally, in order to give security to a Chayv, there has to be something backing it, and that's what's called a Shibud Karkois. Reuven lending money to Shimon, it's easy enough for Shimon to slip away not paying the money. But if Shimon has assets that could be impounded, that could be nigves, al yidei Reuven, that gives the choiv a certain security. So the loiva has to have karka in order for that choiv to be the regular tzur of a choiv. So maybe bisman hazeh that people have, not bisman hazeh, people own houses, but for hundreds of years in medieval times, the land ownership was a non-reality for most Yidden. For most, you'd move from place to place. Whatever, they lived in a ghetto, but they had no land ownership, right? So maybe the regular prusbel couldn't be done. So mela automatically in the Jewish community, there was an understanding that that all claims to Shemitah's Ksafim were waived. Maybe, lamaisa we're not knowing that way, we write a prusbel. When do we write a prusbel? Again, most Rishonim hold the end of the seventh year. There are, however, there is a minority opinion of the Rosh. Interesting how that plays itself out in the Maram HaKoymis and the Lomdis. Of how can there be two different times, but the Rosh seems to say that there's some type of inability to collect the Choiv going into the seventh year, going into Shemitah. The end of the seventh year, the Choiv actually becomes absolved, becomes totally poka. That seems to be what the Rosh is saying, where we were mitzayin a Ktzois, that breaks that apart exactly how that works. The Ktzois understands that there's two distinct dinim in Shemitah Ksofim. One is an isser, like any other isser in the Torah, to collect, to do a maisa gvir. That is created the beginning of the seventh year. You have to write a prusbel in order to have the ability to collect. But the choiv is still there. The choiv is still there. You're not allowed to, as a malva, you're not allowed to press charges. You're not allowed to use Beis Din or even the court system to collect. At the end of the seventh year, it's not only an isser, but the choiv itself is done with. The choiv is poka. Thereafter, the Minchas Chinuch says that if a malva would use the court system to press charges against the loiv and a choiv, and there's a problem, somebody becomes religious, and he had choivis of 20 years before that, that he didn't know, does he have to give them back? Is he? There's been interesting tshuvas written on the subject, we even sign a few of them. Is that gezel biyodoy? The Minchas Chinuch would seem to say that yes, achroinim, Heintig Achroinim seem to argue, and they learn that the choiv is never ois choiv. There was an issue that was done by collecting it, but the choiv actually exists. So if the money was collected, shalaykudin, it's not money that the malva would have to give back. It's not money that the malva would have to give back. The only one who says it mufurish is the Urayim.
The Urim says very clearly that unless the Malva actually said, Mishametemni, I am waiving my ability to collect the Chayv is still there. Other Shem don't say it, but different levels and variations of that idea are picked up by Achronim. It's Meduyik in Rishonim that it's not only a Das Yochid, that's some concept of the Urim. One last point we'll just point out, based on what we just said, the Minig by Medaktikim is if we're medactic to write a prosbul, so we write a prosbul not only the end of the seventh year, but many write a prosbul also the beginning of the seventh year, even though there's a minority opinion, it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. There's another reason for that also. There really is a discussion in the Rishonim, which is a very technical and wide-ranging discussion about which year Shemitah should be. Seems very partial that Tov Shin Pei Beis 5782 Habol Leinu L'Tov Shemitah. In actuality, it seems to be the subject of a discussion between Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam in Avodah Zarah Daf Tes. That being said, obviously we're not going to keep Shemitah 2 years in a row. The same way Tosfos says in Gittin Lamed Vav that Chazal didn't institute Yovel because it's a hardship to keep Yovel after Shemitah. So they're certainly not going to keep 2 years of Shemitah. And the same way we don't keep 2 days of Yom Kippur in Tosfos and Yovel. But to write a prosbul twice is not such a big deal. So that's the medaktikim do write a prosbul. The wording of the prosbul, the exact ceremony, that one has to see the shtar, which will be printed out, as well as the marim mekaymis that will be be'ezus Hashem forwarded to see how the prosbul should be written out. Basically, the idea of the prosbul is the verbal declaration in front of the Bezna, and a shtar is signed to the fact that the Bezna of three, it doesn't have to be a three dayanim mumchim, but three people that sit in an official capacity, and they say that so-and-so came in front of them and declared that being that Shemitah is coming now, that he doesn't want his chayvus to be waived, to be cancelled, his debt to be in his battle. So he is maknet to the Bezdin the chayvus that he has. He does that with he gives over the ability to collect. He does that with a proper kinyan, which is delineated in the shtar, and that he has a right to collect those chayvus on behalf of the Bezdin, and the Bezdin attests to the fact that they affirm this process, and they sign on it with dates, with their signatures. That's the basic fact of the Shemitah, and Amir Hashem, and all over there will be, and the Beis Avad also will have the Nusach of the Prosbul that should be signed on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Habol Leinu L'Tayfa. So that those are the basics of the Prosbul, and we'll use some of what we've discussed, Amir Hashem, in the coming sections to get involved in some of the issues underlying, without the technical details, that's not Negeitos and Chutzlot, we'll get involved in some of the, on a broader level, some of the issues that are negeya in proper observance of Shemitah bizman hazeh.